Yeah. Check it out. See, the only thing you need to do right here is snarl your freaking head.
Hey, well, all right, sir, I'm gonna give you a lot of money and welcome aboard. Here we come on lot number 29, and what are you gonna give for? I'm a 25, I'll get 35, another 50, make a 50 bit of long. Hey, well, all right, sir, I'm gonna give you a lot of money and welcome aboard. Here we come on lot number 29, and what are you gonna give for?
Yeah, boy, it's June 29th, and it's episode 204, and this is the Fantasy Football Auctioneer Podcast. The Fantasy Football Auctioneer Podcast is the official podcast of the fantasyfootballauction.com, the first website dedicated to fantasy football auctions. We've got a great show for you tonight. Tonight, we're going to, I didn't put it on the script I was trying to read there, guys, but tonight we're going to take a look at early budgets. We're going to, you know, pretend like if we were drafting right now, what are some of the budget ideas that we would have? And kind of defend why we think that would be a good strategy for right now. And if we get to it, we'll take a look at the risers and fallers, guys we think that are going to rise in value over the course of the summer and or fall over the course of the summer. But of course, our analysts, they're always here. He's happy the school year is over and now it's time for golf, fantasy, and camping. But Slim, not in that order, right?
Will the real Slim Shady please stand up? I repeat, will the real Slim Shady please stand up?
No, not in that order. I don't know.
Yeah, you're not going to tell me what order.
I don't know what the order would be, but it changes on any given
day. That's actually kind of my plan, was to give you like this awkward moment where it was like, do I have to decide what is the what's the protocol here? So it's good. It actually kind of worked. Good. I'm proud of myself.
Yeah, it's any day of the week.
All right. Well, and he's back from walking his dog, and I was going to say pump for getting his boat a blister. No boat yet, right?
We got two words for you.
No boat, no. I, the month of July is pretty well booked solid, and I wouldn't have time to use it, so I think if they bring it in, they could just shrink wrap and get it ready for next year.
Yeah, like that's what we said last week. So what, you got another week to go? I'm just thinking this is a good saga for the listeners, right? They want to know about your boat.
Well, I saw a truck with some new boats going through town today. Don't know what they were or where they were going, but I was hopeful that maybe that was one of mine. But I don't know. It's hard to say. They said everything's backlogged, shipping's backlogged. So who knows? I really don't know. I did fish in a nice 1941 14-foot Naden on Sunday and Monday.
Whoa, 1941?
1941 that was built, yeah, at somewhere in Minnesota. And it was like some little town, too. I don't know, Elk River, Deer River, who knows. And we smashed the walleyes. It was crazy. We even had a couple of the girls with me, mine and one of the neighbors, and they wanted to go bass fishing. So I'm not a great bass fisherman, so I just thought, I don't want to go over these weed beds. So we started tossing X-wraps and stuff into the weed beds, and just started smashing bigger walleyes. So then I went back to walleye fishing, and I was catching bass on a spinner and minnow while they were catching walleyes on an X-wrap. So I don't know, it was a lot of action. We had a lot of fun.
Look at you. Now it's turned into this fantasy bass fishing. Like, nice. It's just fish.
It's crazy, yeah. I fish more. I don't even know why I'm spending so much money on a boat when I'm doing well fishing right on my front yard. I'm catching walleye.
Is this all really right off the shore behind your house?
Yeah. I've been hammering them. Just like right now, well, 7 o'clock. Actually, it's 9 o'clock. It'll still be good, but by about 7 o'clock, yeah, you just start catching them. It's fun. Don't stew about it, Slim. I told your brother to head down there. They probably, I don't know if he has yet.
I mentioned it to him, too, that he was – I think it was already after you talked to him, but
– Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, absolutely.
No, there you go. Well, there we go. So Slim doesn't know which order his life is in. Blister knows he doesn't have a boat, but he's crushing fishing. So this is
it's pretty good.
Yeah, interesting.
Life is good. Bizarre.
Life is good. Life is good right now. Yeah, we just have to get out of work, Blister, and then everything will be all right.
Yeah.
I got my new VP coming to visit me tomorrow, so that should be good. You'll be there for about an hour, probably.
Oh, really? Yeah, oh, that'll be fun.
Yeah, good times. Good times. Good times. All right. Yeah. All right, enough. Let's get this thing rolling. So if you guys are ready, then I'm ready. Let's cock the hammer. It's time for action. All right, so like I said, we got a good show for you tonight. Tonight we're going to go through some early budget strategy, outlining maybe some of the ideas we have right now. I mean, it is the end of June, so a lot of things will change as, you know, we hear about injuries, we get into camps, we start to learn more about some of these new landing spots for the players. So that's what we're going to talk about tonight. Just a reminder to everyone out there, you can head on over to the website, thefantasyfootballauction.com, and check out the membership area. We got the two different levels of membership this year. We got the infamous Sheets package, which gives you our complete rankings and auction value sheet that you can see a preview on the website. So over 300 players, consensus rankings, 10, 12, 14 man, average auction values, AAVs. We also have super flex numbers for quarterbacks. And then the really important thing is the value indicator on the side. The more in the green, the better the value. The more in the red, the worse the deal. So we have all that for you on our rankings and value sheet. Then Blister's got his brand new 2021 tier sheet out there. Slim's got his going. I need to work on mine. I usually don't get mine ready until like August because it's when I'm getting ready for a draft. I'm too busy running the website and editing podcasts to get all that stuff going, but I'll try to get one out there early. Anyways, the sheet's $7.95, and then if you want to add premium podcasts to it, and we were just talking about that before the show, some of the topics, the wide receiver breakdowns, running back breakdowns, how to set up your budget, general auction strategies, all those types of things. We have premium podcasts that are available to members who pick up the premium preseason. So you can get the podcast and the sheets for $14.95. So head on over to the website, thefantasyfootballauction.com, and check out the membership area. We've had lots of traffic and a lot of purchases already here in June. So don't be that guy in your league who like stumbles into it at the end of August. You want to be preparing for your draft all the way through. Just like our buddy Drew Davenport says, it's a lot of work to get ready for your auction draft. It's not just pick up a magazine and walk on in. So this will help you out. Anyways, guys, we'll get things rolling here. We're going to talk about some early budget ideas. I think I'm just going to call this segment Dream On. So the reason why I'm going to call it Dream On is because, you know, right now you're dreaming this is what it's going to look like, but we know everything's going to change by the time we get to draft season. So I was just talking to Slim Blister a little bit before we got on the air, and you were out there walking the dog. Slim and I were talking about maybe some ideas about what our early auction strategies could look like. I was naming a couple of sweet spots, but Slim, like, what are you thinking about as far as sweet spots right now? I know you haven't crunched official numbers yet, but if you were going to tackle something, where would you be leaning right now?
What? Me?
No, Slim, wake up.
I'm here.
Yeah, no, I mean Blister. He's like, who, me? What? Oh. What? He was too busy editing the rankings, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Not yet. Well, yeah. I don't know. Like, it depends, I guess, on league format for one. Obviously, that's a big thing. Sure. You know, I think for a couple things, there's one thing that I kind of set out in drafts, in super flex auctions that I'm going to be doing. The last few years, I have found myself trying to save money at quarterback. And to be quite honest, most of the times, it has gone very poorly at that position for me, in a super flex format where I end up having to trot out, like last year I had a bunch of injuries, to go along with my just kind of bottom tier kind of guys. Yeah. And I found it really difficult in weekly matchups to all of a sudden I was like in a 20 point hole all the time. Just at the quarterback position. So I hated having to dig myself out. So one thing I was going to focus on this year wasn't super flex, going against what I've all done in the past. And I guess you could say learning from those mistakes. And I want to make sure that I leave my draft, with a top 10 quarterback, somebody who I think is a top 10, ideally somebody who has rushing upside as well. So guys like Kyler Murray, you know, Mahomes, but I probably will never go that high for a player like Mahomes, but I'd kind of spend maybe more in the middle of I call it my tier two, I guess. Yeah. Which if you get the sheets, you can see my tiers there. But guys like Kyler Murray, Lamar Jackson to some extent, Jalen Hurts, you know, those guys, Russell Wilson a little bit, offer some of that rushing upside. And then pair with kind of a safer QB2. You know, as ugly as it sounds, that could be a Kirk Cousins if he's cheap enough in a super flex. You know, I really like Ryan Tannehill in super flex leagues. I think he's kind of flying under the radar a little bit. And so that's kind of the strategy I'd go with in a one QB. Then obviously I'm not spending really at all at quarterback because they really don't matter. I'm just going to take some big upside guys and hope one of those guys hits. So that's kind of where I'm going to pivot the most this year so far. Tight end's going to be a little bit interesting because, and we've talked about this in other shows. I know for me in years past, I've never really wanted to spend at the tight end position, but I think, and we were talking about this off air, we've had 2 years now where people have had the chance to own Kelce. Last year, there was be some Darren Waller owners who are going to remember that and the advantages that they had. And I think there's going to be a temptation for a handful of guys in your league to want to buy, pay up for one of those top tight ends because they know the weekly advantage that that gives you. And I think even for me, if the price is right, it'll be tempting. Like if Kelce, for some reason, his price doesn't go to where I expect it to go, it'll be tempting to throw bids out there for him just because of the advantage and, you know, that he can offer. And I've done a couple best ball drafts that weren't auctioned so far. And, I've heard guys or talked to guys in leagues, like if Kelce's there, for example, at the end of the first round, it's usually somebody's snapping him up because if you can get him at 111, 112, the value there is just too good to pass up for the advantage that he provides. And I think it'll be the same in auction leagues. If one of those top guys, you see their price kind of, not hit those highs like it can.
Right. Yeah. No, it's good points. Blister, those are a couple of things that Slim's looking to maybe pivot on. Pivot just sounds like we're at work. They're always saying pivot that and, what's the other stupid word we're always saying? Peace. Pivot and peace. So what are some pivots and pieces? I might name this podcast pivots and I can't even say it. But where are you pivoting or what type of pieces are you looking at, Blister?
Yeah, I just want to piggyback a little bit off what Slim said because that was my first kind of instinct as well about quarterbacks and tight ends. Like in the past, I've never been a guy to spend a lot of money on a quarterback or a tight end. Now, just looking at quarterbacks, first of all, you know, I kind of went through that last year a bit in some of my leagues. I wanted to get one of the better quarterbacks. Obviously, Dak didn't help me a whole lot, but I did have him in a few leagues, and that's kind of the direction I was going. If it's a super flex, you definitely got to have one of these top probably 10, top 8, I'd feel a lot better, quarterbacks, and then, you know, piecing it together with two other serviceable guys, because I think in a super flex, you want to have three if you can have three guys. But, you know, in some of the ones I'm in, I'm picking up late, like Tyrod Taylor and guys that can be my third quarterback that I think will be quite, you know, if Tyrod, well, he should be probably starting, and he always gets extra points with his legs, too. So, you know, that team's probably not going to be that great, and I think they'll probably have to, whatever, play a lot of desperate football in the third and fourth quarters. So, you know, whether he's running it or slinging it, I think he's going to get you some points. Yeah, and Cam's another guy that if you had him as your QB3, I mean, he's going to probably put up some good games. He's probably going to, you know, challenge for double-digit touchdowns again. So, you know, overall, like, if in our old redraft auction where we just draft one quarterback, you know, I don't mind just drafting a better one nowadays than I used to in the past and not wasting a bench spot on a second guy for streaming. So that's kind of the way I'm leaving. And same with tight end. We've talked about this, I don't know how many times.
Every show almost.
Everyone where we never want to spend on a tight end. Yeah. And, you know, it again, it's going to come down to if the price is right, right? Like, I'd love to have Kelce on my team, but I still just can't pay 25 or 35 bucks for a tight end. But if I have to pay 15 or 20, you know, I might do that if it's a guy that I just have to play and I don't have, again, take up a bench spot with a, you know, a dollar tight end on there. I'd have another dollar running back or something that, you know, potentially could hit picked for a lot bigger points, like a guy like last year's James Robinson or something, if you can grab that, right? But otherwise, if the price is too high on tight end, I'm going to just stream. I'll have a couple guys, and I'll even grab guys off the waiver wire and stuff like that more so. But, you know, if there is something to be said for spending up a little bit. That's why if you go into – like when I do my first premium pod, it's going to be talking about how I use my auction tiers. And it basically these numbers will change where I have my tiers and how the costs there. But when I do that, and I don't want to say too much because I want to save it for the pod, but I'm going to look at what my team will look like if I had a George Kittle, you know, and if he right. went for $18, for example, or 24 or something like that. And then when I figure out from there what I kind of want to have at these different positions, what does your team look like? And then, you know, if you have different plans, then all of a sudden George Kittle goes for $29. I'm not paying that much money. Well, and then where are you going to reallocate your money? And quickly you got to figure that out because maybe there's nobody left at tight end that you're willing to spend more than $8 on. So you got to quickly think, okay, well, if I'm not spending more than $8, that drops me down to these other tiers here. Where am I going to put that 10 or 12, 15 bucks that I just saved? Where is that going to go? No, I better start thinking about having a better running back too or wide receiver.
Yeah, you got to be like rehearsed that. At that, right? So, like that's got to be practiced. Yeah.
And I, when I'm doing an auction like that, I'm every time I get a guy, and I if it's more or less, I quickly reallocate that money to the next position. Where could I spend? And I have to keep an eye on who's out there and what's left because if there's guys out there that aren't worth what I got, if I got say $24 left for a running back too, but I don't see anybody on the board that's worth $24, then I realize I got to quickly realize, okay, I can take some of that money away and put it towards this other position, you know. So, and that happens early on. Like you have to be like that, you know. There's a lot of obviously higher price guys that are going in their first three or four rounds. So you have to be quick on the draw to realize that because there's nothing worse than feeling at the end of the draft, right? That God, I got all this money and I just spent it on, you know, I spent $45 on Robert Woods just because he was there and I had all this money. Who am I going to spend it on? Cause I, you know, you don't feel good about that. So you have to be really on top of it. But yeah, just to go off what Slim said with tight end and quarterback, there is something to be said for spending maybe a little bit more and then not using a bench spot with thinking about a streaming thing, you know, spend a bit more if you get the guy for the price you like.
Right. Okay, so Slim, you guys talked a little bit about moving or where you'd pivot, which is good. So let's get to the and it just popped in my head because now I'm naming the show already. Let's get to the guts and the nuts of it, though. Like, I know, guts, right? I know. Yeah. But I'm thinking, like, so let's take a look, like, at running back. Like, are you what's the plan this year? Like, right now, anyways, are you going for the top guys? Are you looking a little bit lower down? Are you doing a stars and scrubs approach? What are you thinking?
I still like the idea of getting one of the top guys. I mean, if I could get McCaffrey or even Dalvin Cook, I think I'd feel pretty darn good. Like, for me, my tier two, it's Alvin Kamara, Barkley, and Henry. And two of those guys, to me, have some question marks. And then you've got Derrick Henry in there, who we know is kind of capped by the lack of pass catching. So if he, you know, does see some touchdown regression, then maybe he's going to be a little bit overvalued as well. You know, Kamara, there's the usage issues. Barkley, there's the injury issue. So those kind of, that tier, it becomes really murky for me at the price that you have to spend to get one of those guys. So now it kind of becomes, I almost want to go either tier one or then obviously I'm dropping to tier three. Where maybe I'm taking an Eckler or an Aaron Jones or a Cam Akers and trying to, you know, pair him with somebody else, you know, maybe from tier four, tier five, probably tier four. So to me, that's kind of how I'm going to look at it. I'm going to think, can I get somebody from tier one? Can I get him a McCaffrey or Cook? And then if not, I'm probably just going to bypass tier two altogether. Unless there's some really good value there, and then shift my focus onto my tier three, and try and see if I can get ideally two guys from there. But this is where, you know, and Bliss will talk about this when he kind of does his premium podcast. And I know I will when I start rolling mine out as well. This is why in every tier you have to kind of have guys that you like, or that you think can maybe jump into the next tier. like, I like to look at my tiers and say, okay, who, you know, who could I see maybe, in a number of ranges of outcomes outperforming this tier? And who are some guys that I think, you know what, they just fit solidly right here. And I don't see much, way that they can outproduce where they're at right now. And obviously I want to target those guys that have the upside to get into tiers that are above them. At least the way I tier. I think Blister does his more based on value. I'm tiering mine more on, a points per game clip here of what I expect some of these guys to score throughout the season. So, yeah, and then obviously you got to have some of those flyers that are out there and try and smash some upside on some of those cheaper guys.
Yeah, for sure. So, Blister, tackle the running backs. What do you think?
Yeah, well, geez, I'm glad I'm not in. Well, not glad, but if I was in the big auction draft this year with Slimbo, we'd be fighting over the same guys, it sounds like, because I'm 100% agreement with them. Tier 1 and Tier 3, exactly. I worry about Tier 2, like you said. Barkley, you know, injury history, but also is Daniel Jones going to be able to get that offense rolling? Like, there's a lot of good pieces there. Alvin Kamara, the quarterback's going to be a big part of that, because Taysom Hill, he'll, instead of giving it to Kamara, he'll tuck it and run it himself in. So he's going to vulture touchdowns from Kamara. And then Derrick Henry, you know, love the guy. Like Slim said, he doesn't catch a lot of passes, and he's not going to catch as many now with they brought in Julio. So, you know, there was looking like maybe he was going to get a few more when they had so many guys leave town, but you bring in Julio, that solves that. But, you know, there's also the wear and tear that this guy's seen over the last few years, a lot of touches. So,
but don't you think with Derrick Henry, like, I just, sorry to interrupt you, Blister, but like, if you've got Julio there, like, aren't they going to be in the red zone so much? And then give it to the gravy train, don't you? Like, that's why I have him ranked so high. I just think that there won't be a whole lot of touchdown regression. Yeah, maybe yards and maybe not as many catches, but he's just going to just give it to you. He's just, you know, yes, bam. Like, I think there's so many opportunities.
For sure there will be. But I do like Slim said, dropping to tier three where I'd Taylor, Eckler, maybe Cam Akers. You know, in Zeke, if he's the right price, is still going to be you know, I don't like Zeke in 40 plus, but if you get him for 35 or something, you know, all of a sudden he looks like a good deal too. And then, you know, below that, there's guys that could have bigger years that, you know, you could take a few. But then all of a sudden, if you're starting to look like your tier three, tier four starting running backs, then all of a sudden you've got to quickly pivot and say, okay, these guys have the potential to be good and could have a top 12. They hopefully were going to have a top 12 year, but I need to go then for a little more for sureness, I guess you could say, in my wide receiver.
Nice, so
I
got to turn around.
Turn around. I don't know if it's a real word, but I need something solid at receiver. So I got to make sure probably I'm going to spend up and get a little bit higher tiered starting at least my wide receiver one, you know. So that's how I would look at that. I wouldn't want to go in with a bunch of guys that are good and potentially really good. I have always found over the years you need one, you know, something that is your solid stud. So for example, if I went with Eckler and say Clyde Edwards-Helaire, pretty happy with that combo, but I'd want to probably get at least Calvin Ridley, DK, AJ Brown, somebody in there. Maybe,
sure.
I don't even know if I'd be pumped if I had Terry McLaurin as my number one, but yeah, he's not terrible. That's for sure. You know, Tyreek, Devontae, and Steph Diggs are probably all going to go too high, but I could start with Ridley. I think Jefferson in our neck of the woods will be a little high. Minnesota fans around. He'll probably go a little bit crazy, but DK, Hopkins, AJ Brown, I wouldn't mind starting there.
Okay, so now I'm going off script here a little bit, but I'm just listening to you guys talk about running back. So what if, Slim, let's say you budgeted like $80, let's say, for your RB1, RB2, because you do want to maybe in a super flex get up to your higher-end QBs, or maybe you're looking to get after Kittle or Waller. So let's say you have $80. Are you going Dalvin Cook, who are AAV, what the AAV is right now at 53, and then dropping down to like DeAndre Swift? Or are you thinking about hammering like Jonathan Taylor, Aaron Jones, or something in that range? Like, how do you play that budget?
like, which one do I prefer right now?
Yeah, do you prefer, like, do you want to tackle the top tier and then drop down to your tier, you know, three or four, or are you trying to, are you going to go after two guys in your tier three?
I still think I like the idea of the tier one. I mean, I'll be honest, McCaffrey would be my number one target. Like, Cook, I like him, but the injury history does worry me. When he's there, he's right. going to score. And I don't necessarily like handcuffing, but I feel like if I did get Cook, I would really want to go out of my way to get Madison. In that case, I mean, you know, a lot of, like, say I, you know, if I could draft Derrick Henry, I really don't care about getting, his handcuff or guys like that, you know, Jonathan Taylor. I honestly don't really, I'm not going to go and actively target.
You're not going after Nyheim Hines though.
No, not active. Not just because I have Taylor. No. But, you know, so I guess I would still kind of lean Cook. I mean, I think that if you just go with two tier three guys, you can obviously piece together a pretty solid running back core. My worry is if you're, say, in a super flex league, it's going to be really hard to afford a top QB, a top running back, and a top receiver. So, which I think you kind of want to have. So then I think that I'm going to have to really – it would be harder to do that to a couple guys from tier three in a super flex league. Whereas if I'm going to break the bank and go for McCaffrey, I'm probably got to drop now way down and look at $15 to $20 options. That's probably
a Miles Gaskins or Chris Carson or something.
I'll be honest.
Like,
if I could get McCaffrey and Gaskin or McCaffrey and Chris Carson or McCaffrey and ATN, I'd be pretty happy.
All right. Well, and I just was thinking, like, because I know us, right? And if it's in a one QB league, you're not budgeting $80 for your RB1 and RB2. You're budgeting $100, $110. Like, you know what I mean?
Well,
like,
that's the difference.
Three of us all like to jump
up. In a one QB, you're going to spend very little at quarterback in most cases. Like, there's not going to be any need to. I don't think buy one of those top guys. Like, I realized what Blister was saying without the streaming, but I feel like you could go cheap, relatively cheap, and you still necessarily don't need to have a second quarterback because there's going to be
a $4 Baker Mayfield.
There'll be guys on waivers. Yeah. I mean, I might go higher than Mayfield. Like if I'm in a one QB, I might target a guy like Justin Fields as my QB1, and then maybe just grab like a $1 veteran, like uber veteran guy, like Ben Roethlisberger or something, just kind of gross, just till I can get to Fields, hoping that he's going to get in there, you know, by week four, week five. And now I've got that stud with rushing upside that hopefully, you know, he's finishing as a QB1 the majority of the time.
For the last 8 weeks or whatever, sure.
And I've hopefully got him for very cheap. Maybe it's Trey Lance, but I just don't think he's kind of the guy that would do that. Anyway, we're kind of getting off the running back train, but that's kind of the difference between the two league formats, at least for how I think you'd have to tackle running back.
All right. So Blister, same kind of question for you. So you're in a two QB or a super flex league and you've got $75-$80 dialed in for your running backs. Are you like Slim? Are you going big guy, little guy, or are you going two medium guys, like the three, what? You know, the three bears?
Well, I probably would be much happier if I had a Dalvin Cook and a Najee Harris or a Swift or a Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I kind of like that. Versus an Eckler and a Chubb or an Eckler and an Akers and something like that. Yeah, I'd rather do that. I know I'm going to spend a little bit more with Cook and my second guy, but I like that option probably a little bit more. I feel better about that.
Yeah, for sure. Okay. Well, I mean, and I just think when we're sitting here and we're talking about budgets and, you know, what the numbers are allocated to different positions, you can easily say, oh, sure, so for my starting running backs, I want to budget X amount of dollars, but you still have to determine what that looks like. And that's something that I've changed over the last couple years, where I used to, you know, you guys always budgeted like an RB1, RB2, wide receiver one, wide receiver two. And I always just kind of went for, this is what I want to spend on RBs, but it didn't help. I find it doesn't help me determine who I want to attack. So that's like, by budgeting for RB1 and RB2, it tells you what tiers you're trying to tackle rather than saying $100 on running back. And then while it doesn't really give you much of a strategy. So it's something that I've changed over the last couple of years in as far as my budgeting, because I find it helps me to target tiers a lot better. It's better for tier-based drafting. Anyways, that's just why I asked that question.
Yep.
So, all right. So let's take a look. I mean, again, let's go back to the guts and the nuts. And I'm going to start with Blister this time so he doesn't have to ride your shirt tails, Slim. So the wide receivers, like what are you looking at a wide receiver? Slim and I were talking before the show. You didn't hear us talking, but no. We were talking about, you know, running backs that I kind of like that are lower down. But like, is there something there at the wide receiver position? Like, are you looking at targeting, you know, tier three, tier four guys, or do you still want to do like your running back and go after a number one?
Well, I'll be satisfied if I get a number one out of my first two tiers. And basically what I have for dollar value for my first two tiers is from $37 and up. So if I could get a number one out of there, like I said before, Hopkins, Calvin Ridley, DK Metcalf, I have Tyreek Hill, Steph Diggs, Devontae Adams, Calvin Ridley in tier one. I got Jefferson, Metcalf, Hopkins, AJ Brown, and McLaurin in tier two. So if I get one guy out of there, then I'm happy going down for my wide receiver two and three all the way to tier four, because my tier three I'm not too keen on. I don't know, just because they're aging and there's different scenarios, but I had Mike Thomas, Keenan Allen, Allen Robinson, Mike Evans, Robert Woods, Chris Godwin, and CeeDee Lamb. Now, I potentially would take one of those guys, but I don't know. I feel like there's maybe some better value in my tier four where I have Cooper Kupp and Ayuk, Lockett, Boyd, Chase, Deontay Johnson, Galladay, Cooper, Amari Cooper, Julio, and DJ Moore. So I just think that those guys in tier four could easily produce as well or better than the guys I have in tier three. I just think the guys in tier three, because of name, because of reputation, wide receiver ones in their team in most cases, or I just think that they'll probably cost more. And you know, as I do some more mock drafts and as I get some more data in, you know, some of these guys might flip-flop, in which case, you know, I'll look at that. But definitely if I start off with Dalvin Cook and say Clyde Edwards-Helaire, I'd be happy then starting off with, you know, AJ Brown or DK Metcalf, and then dropping down and picking up Ayuk and Amari Cooper if I could. You know, something like that. Yeah, I'd be pumped with that start.
Yeah, for sure. So what about you? Like, what I'm listening to Blister here is that wide receiver kind of has that same feel that running back has, as you were describing before, where there is a tier that might be a little bit higher, but you're still not happy with it. You'd rather drop down a tier. Is that kind of similar for you for running or wide receiver?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, like, I'm kind of like Blister. I have my tier one and tier two receivers. There's most of the guys in there I like. Like, I can't look at too many people in there. And I want to make sure I end up with a stud receiver. The reason is because you're going to have to probably make some concessions at some point in your draft, especially in a super flex. And for me, because of the depth, it's going to be easy to make those concessions at wide receiver. So I want to have an anchor there that is going to carry this group, that I can week in and week out rely on, whether that's a Diggs, whether that's Tyreek Hill, whether that's Calvin Ridley, Hopkins. I like Keenan Allen a lot. I've got him as my wide receiver six. So I wouldn't be too disappointed having him as my wide receiver one. After that, which is kind of the middle of my tier two, where there's AJ Brown, Metcalf, Justin Jefferson, I'm a little bit more leery about having those guys as my, you know, my stud, my anchor, even though that they're going to produce more weeks than they're not. But again, I just think a guy like Diggs, Adams, if Rodgers is there, is going to be a little bit more of a consistent option. And like, I'm like Blister. I can go into my tier four, cause my tier three is huge, with guys like Cooper Kupp and Amari Cooper. Those guys are all in there. But I can go back to tier four even. And I think I feel good about guys like Chase Claypool. you know, hell, even Robbie Anderson, if I had to, maybe not so much as a wide receiver too, but, Tyler Lockett, guys like that, if I really need to, I know I could still build a core there, a wide receiver group, especially in Superflex when I know I'm probably going to have to spend to get a decent quarterback. And that's going to push me in this direction a little bit. So,
well, and just while you guys are talking, I like that idea, Slim, of the, you know, grabbing an anchor. And for me, I, like you, I think you could go like grab an anchor guy, and then maybe it's two or three guys in that tier you're just talking about from, like, I don't know, Deontay Johnson all the way down to Deebo. Yep. Like, I mean, if you ended up with Michael Pittman and Juju and Tyler Boyd, like, that's not terrible. You could play any of those two, you know, two of those three guys any given week with that anchor up top of a, you know, if it's DK or, you know, Calvin Ridley or somebody, if you had that one grabber guy.
Yeah, I mean, that would hopefully mean that your, you know, quarterbacks are quite strong, and hopefully your running backs too, if you're going that late with some of the names that you mentioned. But
I'm thinking you play, you look at the matchups, you look, you know, you look at some of the corners you're playing against. Like,
You know, I hate to be all kind of, but maybe more of a best ball type feel, what you're suggesting, but like, you're right. I mean, there's definitely some upside plays there. You know, we've talked about Michael Gallup last week. He kind of falls into that range you're talking about, and, you know, hell, even Antonio Brown, but, so, it's maybe a little bit deeper. I wouldn't mind having like a wide receiver two from somewhere else, but I know if I'm going to go top tier wide receiver, it probably takes away my tier three. Unless I can find a really good value, like my, you know, there's a good chance, you know, I'm not having CeeDee Lamb, Mike Evans, Godwin, guys like that. If Kupp or Cooper or, DJ Moore, something slide to like $15, then those guys will probably be in my wheelhouse at that point. But, if they're still going for, you know, 20 to 25, it might be tough to fit those guys in your budget, or else you'll be going really cheap with the rest of your receivers.
Right. I'm just looking, like, you could, you know, maybe like right now we have Ayuk fairly high as far as AAV goes and our value indicators. So like, if you got an Ayuk and, Claypool and Sutton, like, I think you could roll two guys any given week depending on the matchup and go from there and know that you've got at least one of those guys that's probably going to splash.
Yeah, like,
that's why I'm kind of thinking in that route.
No, and Deontay Johnson, Ayuk, to me, those guys fit into that price range. They're still in my tier three. They're at the bottom, but so those guys would definitely be targets for me because I think both have a chance to outproduce the price that you're drafting them at. You know, so would I love to get a Terry McLaurin as a wide receiver too, to go along with Stephon Diggs? Sure. Chances are though, McLaurin's just going to go for a little bit too high though.
Right. Right. Yeah. Okay. Blister, anything else to add to the wide receiver position?
No, I mean, it all comes down to that value for sure. We all know that, we talk about it all the time. I'm looking at my tiers, you know, I like the, even numbered tiers 2, 4, and 6. If one might get too expensive, I'm not really high on the guys in 3, and the same in tier 5. So when I'm looking at that, you know, I might be able to save some money and still be quite happy with my first 3 receivers. That means I can spend a little bit more, and I could live with that Dalvin Cook, Clyde Edwards-Helaire or DeAndre Swift combo, and feel pretty good about it. I know I was kind of roughly adding up in my head, though, if I had those 5 guys I mentioned, you know, I could spend $180. Yeah. So as you know, $180, and then you got to fill out your rest of your team. It's going to be pretty thin at those other positions.
Yeah. So, absolutely. No. Well, it sounds to me like in the non-onesie positions, the idea maybe is to grab an anchor and then to find the sweet spot, like a sweet tier, and get in there. I mean, both you guys are talking about that kind of idea.
You know, I made that note many, many years ago after the auction draft and how it all turned out. And the note I made was to get one, like a guy you can lean on at running back and one guy you can lean on at wide receiver. And, you know, it's something I still feel pretty good about today.
Yeah, still feel pretty good about today. That sounded like very stoic, Buster. It's something I still feel really good about today. All right. Okay. Anything else about budging? I was thinking maybe we could jump into risers and fallers. Anything else you guys want to add to budgets?
Right now.
No, that's good. I can.
All right. I think we kind of hit on it. I mean, it's the end of June, right? Like, so.
Yeah.
It's some things to think about. Okay. Well, let's move into another segment then. We're going to talk about some risers and fallers. I was actually going to call this one, because obviously I'm looking for a sounder. Let's call this segment Free Fallen. What do you think I'm going to play there? I mean, what a surprise. Well, Blister, I will look for a metal version of Free Fallin'. How about that?
That would be good.
Okay. Five Finger Death Punch, do they cover them? Or
they should. They should.
I've been all over the covers lately on Spotify, so that's why I thought of that. Anyways, I'll see. Maybe by the time I get to editing, I'll forget all about that I mentioned that, and then we won't have to worry about it. Okay, so let's just kind of go through and just kind of think. I'm going to give you the precursor right now. Let's go position by position. Think of one guy you think that's going to go up and one guy you think that's going to go down. It might be the same guy. I don't know. I'll give you guys alternating opportunities to do so. But let's start on our overall rankings and AAV sheet with the first page is the quarterback page. So, Slam, tell me, one guy you think that's going to go up, and then I'll give Blister a shot.
One guy that I think is going to go up, I'm going to say, well, I think we've seen it, Joe Mixon. It's starting to happen.
On the quarterback page.
Oh, sorry, I missed you say that. Oh, yeah, damn.
That's right.
quarterbacks, who really cares? One guy that's going to go up. Jeez, you really put me in the spot. I wasn't expecting to talk about quarterbacks. So let's just say Superflex. We'll go with Superflex.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'll say Aaron Rodgers then, because if it looks like that he is going to play, and right now for me, I am ranking him like I believe he is going to play all 16 games. I think in drafts we see people not valuing him quite that much yet. If that becomes the case, then say in Superflex leagues, we'll see him go from the high teens to the low 20s up to probably around the mid 20s, kind of around a Justin Herbert territory. I'll just go with Aaron Rodgers then.
Okay. Blister, quarterback position, not running backs, quarterback. Who do you think is going to rise?
Well, you know, one guy I think is going to cost more and might be a little bit overvalued is Matthew Stafford.
That's not what I asked. I asked who's going to go up, not who's going to go.
Like value, cost wise, though.
Yeah, cost wise, like going out somewhere and their value is going up. Well,
him, Matthew Stafford. Okay. I think he's going to cost more than what he has right now. Like where he's slated in, where I see him, and I think I might even been like a little high. Have him a little bit higher priced than what I think he should be worth, but I just think he's going to go more. There's just a lot of hype right now
about him in LA. Right.
And I'm like, well, you know, he did good. He's done well, but I mean, he had, I don't know. We'll see. I just kind of see him really doing a whole lot more than he did in the past. So I think he's a guy that's going to be a little more pricey than you've seen him in other years and a little more pricey than he is right now.
All right. Perfect. Now, I'm going to give Blister the first shot, Slim, even though, because we know who you're going to for running back. So we're going to go to running back now, Blister. Cool. Who's a guy that you think is going to be on the right? Oh, sorry. Let's take quarterback. I didn't plan this very well. Because I want a faller, too. We're free falling, right? So, Blister, who's a guy you think that's going to fall?
Lamar Jackson. Like last year, he was the big hype, right? And I think he's already down a lot compared to other years. And I just think people see these younger guys, Justin Herbert, Kyler Murray, Josh Allen, Dak coming back off injury, Patrick's still there. Like last year, Lamar was challenging Patrick Mahomes for the number one quarterback. I think he's going to be lower. And then all of a sudden, he could go lower if, you know, Aaron Rodgers is back and, you know, we got Joe Burrow looking healthy. If Trevor Lawrence, you know, he's a rookie with a lot of shiny new toy qualities. He, you know, there's a lot of guys there that could bump him down even further yet. And, you know, he could become quite a steal because of his legs and his ability to score touchdowns with those. So he's a guy that's falling, in my opinion.
All right. Slim, who's free falling at quarterback?
Carson Wentz.
Who was he ever?
Right now, he's got an AAV in Superflex leagues or 2QB leagues of $16 for some reason. So he's going around guys like – actually, I should have picked Baker Mayfield too. But anyway.
All right, you can have two.
But like he's right around guys like Trevor Lawrence, Ryan Tannehill, all guys that I like more. I just think – I don't know. I don't know why – like, personally, I have Wentz ranked pretty low. He looked really gross last year, and I know some of that was based on how bad the Eagles were. But what if he kind of just isn't very good anymore for some reason? And, like, why do I want to risk that? Like, to me, a guy like Tannehill has upside. Even Trevor Lawrence as a rookie, to me, has some upside. Jameis Winston, who's taken a few dollars less than $3 less than Wentz right now, to me has upside, even though he might throw interceptions. But so I don't know. I just, to me, if when I look in a group like that, I don't see anyone else really going down. I agree with Bliss, like Lamar Jackson, there is a little bit of shade there now. So I could see his price going down, but to me, there's not a lot of other guys who seem to be really overvalued right now. So I'll just go there.
All right. And if you ever want to look at who's overvalued and who's undervalued, we have this great feature on our tiers or on our ranking sheet. It's called the value indicator. And Slim's talking about guys in the red right now that, you know, Carson Wentz, he has the darkest red on our entire sheet at $4 overvalued for where he slots. So that's where the website and the membership come in handy. Anyways, Blister, let's go to you. Let's go to the running back position now. I want a riser who's getting you up in the morning, if you know what I'm saying.
that's a loaded question right there.
The weather woman? No, sorry. Let's talk about the...
I think Austin Eckler is a guy that we talked about earlier that, you know, I like the thought of him. I just think that, you know, when you look at the guys ahead of him, like we talked about earlier, that middle tier two, is there's some question marks there. But Austin Eckler, you got Justin Herbert, who's running a great offense there last year. They want to get him more involved in the passing game. If he can stay healthy and stay on the field, I just think he doesn't have a lot of pressure behind him. So he's a guy that could, you know, keep sneaking up the costs in the auction when you're drafting. I just think he's a guy that, you know, I have him valued at $30 to $41. I think he could be a guy that sneaks into the $45 to $47 range when if it's part of that auction you and the fact of the situation he's in. So he's a guy that I figure is going to cost a little bit more than I want to pay.
Okay, how about you, Slim? Who's going to be on the rise come the fall?
Well, now I can say this. Joe Mixon, to me, we've seen kind of some buzz on social media now about him. I think as we get into training camps and stuff, like, people are going to look at this depth chart and realize, man, there is not a lot there at the running back position. It is literally Joe Mixon is going to be on the field a lot. And we project this offense to run a lot of plays and be pretty high paced. They were last year, for most of the season, you know, even when Burrow was out. So if the offensive line improves a little bit, and Mixon can stay healthy, where last year those were issues, then I think the hype is going to build. Right now he's going for $33, still below guys like a guy like Nick Chubb. I think, you know, it wouldn't be too far-fetched to see Mixon slide above him, kind of into this range of Aaron Jones, Austin Eckler, Cam Akers kind of price range and kind of this higher $30 range. So, yeah, I think we'll see it climb.
I thought the obvious answer here was Najee Harris.
Oh, I had him as well. I was looking through that.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Like, oh, geez, you know, everyone's got him as a high-end RB2, and he's going to be a mid-range RB1 by the time we get to this.
To me, the three are Akers, Mixon, and Harris. Like, I had these numbers put up. Like, so in May, AAV, like, Mixon was 30. Now he's about 36 in June. Akers was 31. He's up to close to 40 in so far to date in June, average auction value. And Harris, it's been a slow increase. The only thing with Harris, I think, that might kind of keep that in check is maybe all this news about the O-line. People might start freaking out and be like, whoa, geez.
That's right. It is a bad O-line. Yeah.
So even though, like, I don't think it matters much, like, they'll still find some bodies that'll be serviceable and the volume's still going to be there. But even Harris, like, in May, he was going to $31. So far in June, he's up to about 33. So it's been a small increase, not as much as the other guys, but it's definitely still, it's trending in that direction.
All right. So, Blister, who's free-falling, or who do you think will free-fall?
More so yet. I think James Robinson is going to continue to free fall, just because of the fact
that's that
the
a good name. Good
coaching
name.
Staff brought in Travis Etienne, and as we get closer to camp, like you're always more dedicated and loyal to the guys you draft. And James is a hell of a year, but undrafted free agent. I think Etienne's going to, you know, I think the buzz about him is going to continue to grow, and so people are going to want to spend less. They might look like where I have him, they might look to the next tier over and say, you know what, I'd rather spend a little less and gamble that Trey Sermon's going to, you know, I'll spend less on him, but his role is going to grow versus spending more on James Robinson and watching him go down in value and opportunity. So might go to Trey Sermon or Chase Edmonds or guys like that and hope that their opportunities increase. So that's my guy for dropping.
All right. Slim, who's free falling?
I want to say Saquon a little bit. And I don't think he's just going to tank, obviously, but we saw the Instagram video of him cutting on the field, and I think people got excited about that. But we haven't heard anything from the Giants yet about any time frame for him to be on the field with the team or anything. So that's great. He's doing this workouts on his own. But I think as the season approaches, and obviously if he's not on the field as that starts to happen, his price is going to go down. Like, people are going to get worried and not draft him as high. We've already seen it right now. Like, Derrick Henry has moved up and is now got the same AAV as Saquon, where, you know, a month ago that would never have been the case. So it could be happening a little bit now. So I kind of want to see how this plays out.
Interesting. So, okay, so we're going to move to the next position because we're going to keep rolling here. We're already pushing 50-minute mark here. So let's move to tight end. I'm going to start with you first here. So who do you think is going to be on the rise come between now and the fall?
Well, the easy answer is Kyle Pitts, I think. We've seen him now jump over the $20 average auction value.
Just low-hanging fruit.
Well, it is.
Like, he just didn't even...
Well, at a position that... You know, let's face it.
But it's fair.
Doesn't have a lot of, you know, big movement. But yeah, now all of a sudden, Pitts is the tight end four behind, you know, Kelce, Waller, and Kittle in terms of price. So just in this last month, he's jumped, you know, Andrews and Hawkinson, which we're not, I don't think any of us are surprised by, right? This hype is going to keep going. Julio gets traded. Oh, now there's all these more targets. Like, it's kind of the perfect storm for this to happen. So I don't think anyone's shocked here.
Right, for sure. Blister, who's going to be on the rise come the fall?
Well, if Aaron Rodgers comes back, it'll be Robert Tonyan for me. I think that he's a big red zone target, probably after Devontae. Probably maybe their second most reliable guy, I would say, that consistently gets involved in the offense. So if A-Rod gets back to the field, then it's going to be Robert Tonyan.
What about a guy like, you know, little Blake Jarwin, or even I'm thinking of Troutman, you know what I mean? Like, I'm thinking Troutman, I think, is just going
to
slowly sneak his way up, you know what I mean?
He's moved.
Yeah, I looked at him too. Yeah, but Jarwin's a good one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, just because I'm thinking we have him at about a buck, you know what I mean? And let's remember that offense. And
well,
you know,
here's the thing that I worry about at the tight end.
Before the injury, right?
Dalton Schultz looked pretty okay there when Jarwin went out, and so I worry now. Is there kind of an ugly little timeshare that's brewing in Dallas? But you're right with Troutman. Like, if we look at Troutman, he was around like $3 in May, and now he's about $7.
Starting to creep,
Like, he's right up there with, in that tier with Higbee, Gesicki, Logan Thomas, Dallas Goedert, all those guys. So he's jumped up kind of and leapfrogged, you know, the Robert Tonyans, the Jonas Smiths, the Evan Ingrams now. And I think that might continue as well. So that's a good one.
Another name I was thinking about at tight end too, we're hearing a little bit of buzz if you're watching the NFL Network and whatever, O.J. Howard.
Yeah, to me, he's in very deep leagues.
Good sleeper.
Like, yeah, I mean, you'd have to be in a really deep league, I think. But, yeah, definitely somebody's forgotten about right now, that's for sure.
Yeah, because, I mean, all this, I just, you know, you think to Kyle Pitts, and we talked about this ad nauseum, but, you know, this high draft pick, first round pick, yada, yada, yada. Like, that's where some of these guys are now, right? Like O.J. Howard, a few years in the league, came off injury. Now, all of a sudden, you know, Tom Brady, is Gronk going to be too drunk or be a professional wrestler by the time the season comes? And, you know.
Wow. You never know, yeah. I guess.
Yeah. I don't know. I think there's a lot of, like, either, I think a tight end is this position where you're either spending big bucks or you're spending a buck. To me, like, I know we've said that before, but, like, why couldn't you throw it on a, you know, Jared Cook for a dollar at the end of your draft? And he's only got the, you know, number one ever in the history of the league rookie tight end throwing the football to him, and he's got legs because he hasn't been used a whole lot over his years. I don't know. It's just those things.
No, so. I kind of agree, man. Like, after I get outside of Hawkinson, past all those guys, it makes it hard to – do I really want Andrews? Do I really want – like, what's the difference between, you know, like Blister said, Tonyan or right now anyway, and Noah Fant? They're Fant's double the price, so – maybe I'll just drop way down, man. And I think that's the way you got to think. Yeah.
Yeah. Blister, anything else to add to the tight end position? I know you love the tight ends.
Yeah, well, we're talking about fallers, and my faller would have been Mark Andrews. I just think he's slowly sliding. You know,
did we talk about fallers? Did I even bring that up yet?
No.
Okay, so you bring that up. Who do you think we're going to, or who do you think is going to fall, Blister?
Mark Andrews, you know.
Oh, Mark Andrews.
Yeah, I just, you know, I don't know. It just seems to be that there's just not a lot of positive hype around him right now, and I just think that as that continues, and he's going to slowly slip, which could make him a good value at some point.
Yeah, for sure. So what about the fallers at tight end, seeing as I forgot to mention it?
That's a tricky one. Irv Smith is one to me, maybe. Ooh, yeah. There's gross reports out of Minnesota there. Was it who's the coach there again? Damn eye patch. he did a press conference where he was praising Conklin and
Right, yeah.
So like there's talk of that. So I could see
Zimmer.
Yes, Zimmer. Mike Zimmer, thank you. I could see Kittle though too. I really could. Like if Kelsey and Waller are gonna kind of like Kelsey's clearly way ahead. Kelsey's got an AAV like $42 and Waller's sitting at 28. So he's in a league of his own. But like if Pitts keeps going up, then I don't think there's gonna be enough guys in leagues that are gonna wanna pay up for, you know, all these top end guys. So I could see Kittle kind of his price coming down and getting closer to $20 and maybe more in line with Pitts. Like we got the hype train in Pitts. People might look at Kittle and say, well, there's a lot of weapons there and he's had some injuries the last couple of years. Why do I want to spend, you know, $25 on this guy? So I don't know.
That would be my guy too to fall, because I'm also thinking, you know, a big running game, and then what if Trey Lance gets the start? We don't know if he's going to throw to the tight end. Like, and all this hype where Waller's just getting more and more hype to be that too, right? More and more hype to be that too. As you, like you said, Slim, Pitts, he keeps kind of rolling. Mark Andrews falls. Like all of a sudden, these guys that we used to associate with those top five, I think are going to kind of dribble down. We're going to see Pitts jump up. I think there's, like I said before the show or at the beginning of the show, with all these different landing spots for all these different guys, you know, as far as quarterbacks and whatever else, like it's really, really going to wreak havoc, I think, on what the end of August looks like versus what the beginning of August looks like.
Yeah, I mean, in any of the drafts that I've seen here, Waller's gone ahead of Kittle every single one. So
yeah,
I can't see that changing over the next month.
Yeah, awesome. Great stuff, guys. Like, we broke down budgets. We talked about risers and fallers. I just wanted to make a full circle here. Last week, we talked about was it last week? Week before, but you know, a podcast talking to its listeners about things that they learned, and don't nominate guys in the first 80 picks that that you want, right? Like, that was like a hard, fast rule. And then again, the silky voice of Drew Davenport, right? But he talks about looking at a guy like Travis Kelce and putting him on the, you know, or sorry, Darren Waller, as we're just talking about, and getting him out there early because of that Travis Kelce and whatever else, and people are sitting on Kelce. So getting him out there early because you want him, and you might actually get him for a couple bucks cheaper. And these are the things that over the last few years, auction is changing. There aren't these hard, fast rules anymore. And in particular, never nominate a guy that you want, right? And so that was a discussion Drew and I were having on Twitter. If you want to follow us on Twitter, it's at Fantasy Auction, and then that'll link you through to everybody else. But it's just how things are changing and the way that we see auction drafts now. So I just wanted to bring it kind of full circle back to where we were last week. Just saying. And it ties in the tight end, so it was beautiful.
Well done.
It was beautiful. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. All right, guys. Next week, I'm going to be in Cowtown. We didn't even talk about this before. I'm heading out to Calgary, heading out west on a cheap flight, heading out there. I don't have to do any work. I don't have to do any drywalling. If my brother-in-laws are listening, thank you. But the beer won't taste as good if I didn't have to work in the morning. So we'll throw out a podcast next week. We got this one out early because Slim's on the road tomorrow. And then I know in the coming weeks, Blister's going to be gone. So when I say, they're always here, it sounds like we're probably going to be two of us in any given time. But anything you guys want to add before we wrap things up here? I'd love to put you on the spot.
I'd just like to add happy July 1st to all the Canadian listeners coming up. Have a safe and happy holiday. And then to our American friends, July 4th, again, go hard and have safe and have fun.
Well, they're wide open there, right? Like, I mean, let's just give it. July 4th is a real deal.
Way more fun than we can up here in
yes.
Communist Canada.
All very hard.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. Slim, anything to add after Blister? Just look at that, celebrating holidays.
No, I don't.
All right. Awesome. Okay. Well, we'll get this one out early just to, again, if you like the stuff that you heard tonight and you talked to the guy, you heard the guys talking about, sorry, the premium podcast, you heard them talking about the tier sheet. You know, we've been talking about our auction value sheet, the value indicators, those things. Head on over to the website, thefantasyfootballauction.com. Click on the membership along the top. You get to see the two different levels of membership there. Get just the sheets or get the premium podcast too. We'll have some premium podcasts coming out over the next couple of weeks. You know, as the guys are starting to prepare for their drafts and getting ready for August, the guys will start to record their thoughts and give them to the members. So you get the one free show a week. But if you want, like I was saying earlier, the guts and the nuts, like this is where you get the over and above. Like, it's just Blister talking for, you know, 25 straight minutes about what he's thinking. And besides fishing.
Deep thoughts.
Yeah, deep thoughts.
Back handy.
Oh, nice. I might have to add that. If I put a clap in, no, I'm going to forget all about it. Anyways.
And now Deep Thoughts by Jack Handy.
Okay, so that's the end of episode 204. Make sure you head on over to the website, thefantasyfootballauction.com. Follow us on Twitter, at Fantasy Auction. If you're still here at the hour mark, you might as well just give a like and a review and a rating and those things on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, all those things. It just helps the show out. That's all I got to say. I don't know if I'm going to see you guys in the next couple weeks. I guess I'll just see you online. And for the rest of you, I'll see you when it's springtime. in the Rockies.
When it's springtime in the Rockies, I'll become